Tweet at Today SOR.
In secondary school laboratories around the country, students and their teachers are learning and doing science in ways that many, perhaps older listeners, wouldn't have done when they were wearing their first pair of long trousers. Gone is the junior cert, not to mention the inter, of course, and in its place, a more skill-based, active junior cycle. We're joined now by Dr. Shane Bergen, physicist from UCD's School of Education, who has taken a trip to visit some of these school labs. Shane, where did you go and who did you meet?
Sean, I hopped on the 46A, as many of my colleagues in UCD do, and I went into Sing Street, one of the probably the best known schools when it comes to teaching science in the country. I visited a student of mine, so I had the pleasure of working with student physics teachers. I visited Julia Dolan, who's in her final year of teacher education, and Kate Walsh, her colleague, both in the CBS on Sing Street.
And it's obviously a school, I think, that's made quite a mark at the Young Scientist exhibition.
Oh, unbelievable. And as ever, there's always a great teacher at the heart of this. So there was a guy there called Mr. Cook, and he was the science teacher there for years. And he had, from the get-go, a massive involvement in the Young Scientist. And so students from that school have continued to go down through the years. And they do these wonderful things in the school to keep that going. They have a great culture around science in the school. For instance, they name some of the class groups after students who have left the school who took part in the Young Scientist. So if I was there and I'm Shane Bergen and I left sixth year, next year one of the first year groups might be called the Bergen Group. And isn't that a lovely legacy?
That's a wonderful tribute and I suppose a feather in your cap. Now, what has changed though, to go back to where I started, in the way science is taught and communicated?
Well, if you were to go into a school as I did in Sing Street and you were to firstly, just look at the physical layout of the room. It is dramatically different to even the way I went to school. I did my inter-cert in the mid-90s, or my junior cert. And back then, as it probably was for you, it was a lot of learning things off by heart. There was a lot of sort of equations and theories, and you just had to memorise them. And then when it came to the exam, the high-stakes exam at the end of third year, you had to repeat and regurgitate a lot of information, the idea of rote learning. So that's all gone now with junior cycle. And as a scientist, I have to say I feel that's for the better. I feel it's for the better because the kids are actually getting to do science in class now, as opposed to listen to somebody just talking about science.
So, I mean, for people who might recall lessons involving memorising the periodic table, I mean, some of the examples you might give us of the kind of ways that Julia and Kate are offering to their students.
And they were buzzing with examples of great classes that they enjoy teaching and their students enjoy learning. So, for instance, Julia is, she's a big fan of drama as well as being a physics teacher, and she was chatting to me about a class where she got the kids up out of the seats, which is very normal in junior cycle now, and they had to dramatise the function of a battery. So they had to imagine that they were the constituent parts of a battery and they had to figure it out. Now, I'm not going to ask you or your listeners to, can you explain how a battery works? But it's something we use every day, and it's something that can be quite tricky to get your head around, things like basic electricity. How does it work? And I'd say that no amount of memorising things is going to help you figure that out. And so Julia's approach of using drama is far more rich an experience for the kids to figure it out, because they have to talk to each other to figure out, well, if I'm an electron and you're doing something else, and voltage and current and all these terms, they have to figure out what that means.
Sounds like a lot of fun.
Ah, it is. It's great. There's another one where they have to model the solar system. So you take a lamp and you put it in the centre of the classroom, and that's the sun. And then you give every kid or groups of kids small foam balls and you say, there's your Earth. I want you now to model what's day and night, what's the seasons. Can you figure out how the concept of a year works, moving around the sun? And you think these are very everyday sort of mundane things, but in reality there's an awful lot of complexity behind them.
Yeah, and what's this about challenging people to create a rocket with materials found in a kitchen?
Oh, this is brilliant. So anyone listening at home who wants to entertain a child, or indeed maybe a grown-up child, around a basic rocketry, you can take things like, you know, those effervescent tablets that you take in the morning sometimes to give you a boost.
Yes.
And they come in a tube, and you put some water in on top of your tablet, or maybe some Coke if you wanted to go a little bit further, stick the lid on top, and away it'll go, and it'll take off like a rocket. And we use this all the time in UCD when we're teaching basic science as well. Juliet does it in her school. And what it does is, rather than teach people about things like Newton's laws from a kind of a, you know, first principles perspective, she's saying you're going to make a rocket. And then I want you to think, well, what does science know already that can help you make that rocket go higher and go further? And so it's the sort of a, I have a problem and I want to solve it. That's first, and then the science comes in to help you figure out how to solve it, as opposed to saying, I want you now to go home and memorise those three laws.
Now, you mentioned about the seasons and so forth. Tell us about this education research, I gather, from Harvard that you've been looking at, and the students being asked to explain the seasons.
Yeah, now this is a really good example as to how effective this type of teaching, this active learning is. So in Harvard, there were students who were graduating from a degree in physics. Now, this is not school, this is university, and they're on the day of the graduation, they were approached by people and said, can you explain how the seasons work? And the majority of these graduates in physics from Harvard got it wrong, right? And this just showed that they had learned through their years and years in school kind of bad science. Had they had the experience of being in Kate and Julia's class in Sing Street in Dublin, they may have had the opportunity to figure it out and construct their own knowledge themselves. And also not just have to rely on their memory for how things work, but develop these critical skills, this creativity, which is extremely important in science, so that you say, well, I'm not sure about that, but I've a way of figuring it out.
Yeah, and so, I mean, they take, Julia and Kate, they take a lamp and they call
it
the sun?
Yeah, that's the lamp, and they put that in the middle of the room and it's the sun, and they give the kids all these bits and pieces and they move around this pretend sun, and the kids have to figure out things like day and night. The seasons is the best one, though, because everyone seems to get this one wrong, because people think for some reason that the Earth goes round the sun in an ellipse or an oval, and that when we're closest to the sun, that's when we have the summer, and when we're furthest away, it's the winter. It's not at all true. The Earth goes around the sun in more or less a circle. What happens is we're tilted towards the sun in our summer and tilted away during the winter.
But Shane, going back to something we were talking about a few minutes ago, I mean, is there not something to be said for committing facts to memory?
Well, there is certain things. You want to know your PIN number, for instance, right? I won't ask what yours is on radio, but there are in an era of Google, there is not a need for us to have every piece of knowledge at our fingertips. There is a balance to be struck in schools. People talk about graduates all the time. You'll have people on here from industry and from all sorts of things saying, we need critical thinkers, we need creative thinkers. And what I'd say is that can be taught in school, and it can be taught in science by people like Julia and Kate in what they're doing. So that if I were to say to you a simple question, right, like Julia told me, she said, if you lose weight, how does the weight that you lose leave your body? And she'd give the kids an example. Does it go out through your wee, your poo? Do you sweat it out or do you breathe it out? And there's four options, right? And it will start lots of conversation as to how does that mass leave your body. I'm not going to tell you how it works.
Well, I'm probably glad about that, because we're just bang up against our time allocation. Shane, as ever, it's a learning experience and a pleasure to have you in studio. That's Shane Bergen there from UCD School of Education. Thanks indeed.
Today with Sean O'Rourke on RTE Radio 1.